It's Mark Husson's Astrology Hour. Time for you to expect something wonderful.
Well, hello, everybody, and welcome. It's Mark Husson. This is the Mark Husson Astrology Hour coming to you live Monday, February 26th, 2024. At about 8 a.m. Pacific, 11 a.m. on the East Coast. Feeling good? How you doing? It's a Libra moon. I kind of hold on tight when that moon happens because I want to be, I know it's going into my 12th house. You know, as a Scorpio rising, wherever the moon is, whatever your rising is, if you know the order of the signs, which by now all of you do, I know you've all put them into memory. You go behind the sign. So when the moon's in Libra, that's behind Libra, then Scorpio, right? Then Sag, then Capricorn, right? So if you're a Capricorn rising, when the moon's in Sag, it'll go into your 12th house typically, right? There's always minor exceptions with the wobbling of the planets, but that's kind of how it works. So it's still not in the 12th for me, but when it goes into the 12th, I feel like I am now wide open. The boundaries, the gates are opened. I have Neptune in the 12th. Neptune's the dreamy planet. And so every Libra moon, you should see the defenses that used to come up before I really understood what was happening. They'd be insane. I'd get into a fight every Libra moon. I dreaded Libra moons. And now I kind of love them because I know that there's, you guard for sensitivity, you guard for, and guard meaning just pay attention. You know, you're going to be a little feeling vulnerable, or you could be. You might also be feeling very tuned in. It just matters. But that's kind of fun, paying attention to the planets and what they do. So welcome to the show. If you're new, I've gotten feedback that I'm getting a lot of new listeners, which is lovely. Thank you so much. And all of you, welcome. I do talk a lot of astrology babble. I do try to clarify it. So if you aren't up to snuff on your astrological wares, you can get that from anywhere on the internet these days. It's fine. But some of the books that I used when I was growing up into astrology were things like The Inner Sky by Stephen Forrest, or The 12 Houses by Howard Sesportis, or as I got deeper into it and wanted to really understand the psychological nature, anything by Liz Green was just scarfed up because, you know, there's very few people as brilliant, in my opinion. Woodruff is his name. Frederick Woodruff is a Substack, which is like a new kind of Twitter, but it's safer and cleaner and but he has a very amazing astrological mind. I think, you know, I just really kind of connect to him. And you can find people like that where they're just sort of talking about the current things. They're talking about, like, one of his issues was blonde to blonde. And he was talking about how Trump and Taylor Swift have literally opposite charts, like dynamically opposite, and how they both represent this amazing force. For better or worse, amazing force, meaning just big force in our consciousness, right? So it's fun, but if you're learning and you're just kind of coming on board, don't be afraid. Come on in. We try to keep it pretty grounded. If you want to come into the chat room, which I really would love for you to do, if you'd like to, you don't have to talk. You can just kind of come and lurk. Go to 12listen.com and click the chat button, the chat link. It says the word chat literally right on that left-hand side column, and you'll be brought over to the Facebook page where Jay has graciously, Jay Varvel, who is our producer and also amazing psychic friend, great voice in the 12 radio community particularly too, put up the banner. And you can see comments. You can read them. When I click comments, I always, there's a drop-down menu. It says it'll change to top comments. And if you click top comments, it goes to all comments. And then you can see everybody. And when I do that, I see Lynn Goldberg waking up slowly this morning. You know, I did the same thing, Lynn. It was like a little slow wake up. And you know, next week is daylight savings time. I resent that. day. I do. Don't, you know, take away my hour and tell me we're getting more light. It's a ridiculous concept. And I have come to peace. We're not going to do anything about it. It'll, or every year that I think it's going to happen, it's like watching the pot boil. You know, it's like it's never going to boil, and maybe one day it will. But anyway, now time for Java. Yeah, I know, right, Lynn? Hi, Erica Longden over from across the pond. She's our UK specialist. She also has a great show, Tune In with Erica, one of the most talented people I've ever met. She just wrote a book about tales for dogs. I'll try to get the link in there, but it's beautiful, Erica. I love it. She's been doing tours. She's been doing book signings. And she's a reader, and she's an intuitive. She's an advisor. I have also made some decisions about that too. I'm going to talk to you about that, like what we do over at One to Listen, because I think it's time to expand sort of the concept of what it is we do. I've been calling it like a psychic hotline, and I think I'm changing that up a little bit to a helpline, to an alternative helpline, and because I think that's what they do. They're just really gifted. We put them through heavy testing, but they're pretty amazing at tuning in. And I think we've been around for over 15 years for a reason. So Erica's part of that. Thanks, Erica. Laura is in the house. Hi, thank you. Terry Campbell, also an ally over at 12listen.com, incredible advisor. Penny, thank you for being here. Welcome. And Michelle's in the house, and Ellsworth Fran, hi. Quelly's in the house. Always so good. You guys are such staples, and I don't want you to ever feel like you have to be a staple, because, you know, we can do with, you know, I can eat bread, but, and bread is a staple, I guess, for me. But I love that you're here, and I thank you for that. So I always worry about, you know, that thing, you know, the Jupiter and Virgo part of me goes, now if you make it like you're so excited to see them, they're going to feel like next week if they don't come, you'll notice that they weren't here. And I, whatever, might, but it does. I'm not taking any of that personally, but it's just sort of like thoughts that don't need to be there, right? Everybody's an adult. Audra, thank you for being here. I mean that. I'm going to, I have a lot I want to talk to you about, because there has been a lot going on. Gwen, nice to see you. Pamela, thank you so much. The Monday anchor man. I love it. I love that. Thank you. Maureen, thanks for being here. She's a Libra sun, Gemini rising, Cap moon. Okay, that's good information, because we're going to talk a little bit about how we're going to put this Libra Neptune, but my second house. Oops. Oh, okay. Gotcha, Gwen. No problem. So here's the thing. The planets are this reflection for us. I say this every week because I want to make sure that new people understand that we're not like worshiping the planets and worried about them and, oh my gosh, bad transits. But they are metaphors for us. We can use them to see how we're doing. It's like an EKG monitor, right? It's what's going on in your life is going on in your life. It's not brought on by a planet. The planets sort of show the chart, the EKG. They say, yeah, you know, oh, this was a bad day. And you look, oh, the moon was in my 12th, you know, that kind of thing. The moon going into your 12th didn't create it, is my point. It adds to it and it sort of reflects it back, and we're sort of all one and the same. So you being in a bad mood might have thrown the moon in the 12th house, but either way, they're all entwined. Okay, as above, so below. So it's, why is that useful? It's useful because we get some information about ourselves that we normally wouldn't get. You know, I bake bread. I mean, it's a well-known fact now. I bake bread. I love, I'm obsessing about it now because I have gotten to a point where it's been a year and I'm learning what I'm doing wrong. And it's been fun to see some of these little gems come out of the oven. And I don't know why I'm doing it. There was a postulate, somebody said to me, I just read that people who bake bread consistently are depressed, guarantee it, no doubt. And I'm like, oh, okay. Well, if that's true, I'm glad I have something to channel it. I don't feel that way, but you know, it might be, who knows? The unconscious is a powerful tool. But the point is, we do things, that sometimes we don't know why. You know, we look. And so the exploration of astrology is sort of sometimes a guide to understand like this feeds you. And when I first learned astrology, this load lifted off of me. This peace came over me. This sense of like, oh my God, thank you. am in a family. I came from a family where there wasn't a single water moon in the family. Me and my dad were born on the same day. He had a Leo moon. My mom's a Virgo. She had an Aries moon. My sister Gemini has a Sag moon, and my other sister Taurus has an Aquarius moon. So I was the only all water. I'm Cancer, Scorpio moon, Scorpio rising, Mars and Pisces. It's like I'm water boy. And when I discovered astrology, it was like, thank you, Jesus, thank you. I can see why I was in a pool of my own most of my life. At least it felt that way, right? And I inserted myself, which water does, into the lives of the people around me. I know, and I became the record keeper. I remember everything. I remember everything from crib to cradle to now. I remember vividly so much. I'm sure there's things I've forgotten, obviously, but I'm the record keeper. I definitely was the water retainer and using that to win favor. You should see when we first got the store here in Denver, it took every bit of me to, you know, and John, and bless John, to open the store, a retail store. And because I felt guilty, I had access to all these things. I would pound these bags, grocery, like brown paper bag, big ones, the big ones that you get, brown paper bags filled with gifts, and send them home to each member of the family with their name on them. Year after year after year, it cost a fortune in shipping alone, all right? Because guilt was sort of running the show. Now, I'm talking about this for a reason, because there's these planetary changes that are happening in the sky all lend themselves to a certain kind of understanding of the self. That is an opportunity of a lifetime for real. And it's something that I think if you can use and know how to use, it will free up so much unnecessary guilt, unnecessary burden, unnecessary worry. Because that's what we tend to do. We worry. And we worry about things that we don't understand. We worry about things. The mind's job is to worry. That's what it's supposed to do. It's looking out for you at every minute, every step, every stone, every turn. It's like, okay, what do they mean by that? What could, blah, 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 blah. All right? Now, as we start to understand a little bit more of ourselves, and the chart, your chart can help you do that the day you were born. You don't absolutely have to have the time. The time is very helpful for specifics. But in general, all the planets will be there that whole day that you were born, as long as you got the day. And you can use that as you're understanding a little bit about why you might have some trepidation in this area, why you might be an over-worrier, why you might be so attached, or why these things keep happening over and over and over that are not fun, that don't feel very loving, right? And for some of you, it's the kind of things where it makes you feel like there can't be God, because God would never let this happen, kind of stuff, right? I'm not going to get into your spiritual beliefs. I'm going to get into your belief about you and how you come in with a particular burden. And your duty to live a happy life is to somewhat understand that burden and work with it. Accommodate it. I'm not even going to say the word heal it, because that just implies that something's unwell, right? So some of you come in, and one of the places that we look for where some of this heavier stuff exists in your chart is we look to Saturn and we look to Pluto. And some people will look to other kinds of wounds like Chiron, et cetera. But the big ones right now, the big players, the giant players that we've been struggling with for most of our lives, come with this stamp on them. And Pluto in your chart is one of the biggest ones. And I wanted to talk to you a little bit about that, because Pluto just changed signs. And every one of you that has strong Capricorn in your chart, even a single solitary planet in Capricorn, over the past 12 years, you, and this sounds so ridiculous when I say it out loud, you had a life-changing event occur. It sounds ridiculous because in 12 years, you better have one, right? Let's hope. But a big one, and it's focused, and where Pluto is in you, where Capricorn is in your chart, for example, for starters, that's where it happened, okay? That's the room where it happened. Thank you, Hamilton. And where Pluto in the sky is right now, which is Aquarius. No, and, oh, I take that back. Where that's also true. But where Pluto in your chart is, so you have where Capricorn is in your chart because in the sky, Pluto went over it. And then you have Pluto that you were born with when you took your first breath. That most and many of you will likely have it in the sign of Scorpio, Libra, Leo, Virgo. Some of you might have it in Sag, younger ones among you. Where that Pluto is identifies a deep and profound place that you carry, a burden for the family, let's say, for example, a burden that you inherit, a deep, profound tether to a treasure beneath it. And it is not easy to get to. And Pluto is, for the most part, the matriarch, the face of the mother. And it could be the face of the grandmother, the face of, you know, the eternal mother, whatever you see. But it is this place that is so, captivating. Medusa reflects it. If you think about the myth of Medusa, her face is the face of terror. A beautiful face typically portrayed with snakes in her hair, right? And the myth is that she was raped by, I believe it was Poseidon, but whoever, I won't get into the myth too much on that. But the whole point is there's a beauty and a mystery and a pain. And that exists in all of us. And we're carrying that. And what we find out is recognizing that or uncovering that isn't necessarily the solution. But knowing that you have it, knowing that there's a point here that's ouch, or this always happens. Like if it's in your seventh house, the guarantee relationships are always intense, and maybe you even avoid them completely. It's the scorpionic, it's the action of Scorpio where Pluto is. It's the part of us that hides a deeper, profound part. It's where we know there's work there to be done. We know there's an issue there, but it's not an easy one to go after. And so oftentimes we just ignore it, which you can do. And I'm going to just put a pin in the Pluto talk right now. And we also do this with Saturn. And Saturn, most of you are familiar with. And Saturn right now Pluto is in Aquarius right now. Pluto has transformed the Capricorn energy, the energy of government. I mean, tell me in the past 12 years, you don't see government differently, for better or for worse, that you don't see it differently. Because 40 years prior to that, it was government that did what it did. You tell me you don't see the disruption and the change and the transformation within government. You can celebrate it. You can be mad about it. You can do whatever. But tell me you don't see the absolute transformation of how we view everything, the systems in place, the Supreme Court, the FBI, the CIA, whatever, how you see it now different. That's Pluto's effect after 12 years being in Capricorn. And now it's going to go back one more time in Capricorn in November, just for a very short couple months. But this now is the Aquarius journey. It's sort of like getting momentum in Aquarius. And this is the part where we see the humanitarian in the world. We see the part of us that is connected, like that we're all human, because guess what's coming? The non-humans are coming. AI. And I didn't mean to scare anybody. I'm just saying when you're up against this thing that looks like it's driverless cars, and you type in a question and tell it to draw you something and write you something, and it's doing it, suddenly humanity has a different meaning. Like, I don't mind when I get an AI bot answering the phone, like, thank you for that. Now, let me ask you another question. They're friendly sounding and all that. But oh my God, is it nice to have a human? And that's just the beginning of our appreciation of humanity. That's where I met by that. Okay, pin back into Pluto. Saturn now is in Pisces. The sun is just 2 degrees away from it. Mercury's in Pisces. Neptune is in Pisces. And if you don't understand the mechanism of water, because you're maybe a lot of air, or maybe you're a lot of fire, or maybe you're a lot of earth, and you don't spend a lot of time in the watery realms, this is your chance. If you look at where Pisces is in your chart, or if you have any understanding of dreamlike energy, any understanding of the altering effects of drugs, that look how quickly reality shifts. A tiny little pill changes everything. And pharmacies are ruled by Pisces. Pisces and Neptune has transformed the pharmaceutical industry. I know, I still have I have Jardiance song in my head, that woman dancing and singing a little pill with a big story to tell. It's brilliant marketing, but geez, please, I need to have excavated from my mind, please, somebody. And the other day, I couldn't get the J.G. Wentworth song out of my head, and then I turn on Curb Your Enthusiasm, and Tracy Allman is singing it, and he's saying, shut up. She goes, I can't get that song out of my head. It's so Pisces. It's so Piscean. And so, because people, they're getting us into the dream world. They're getting us into their dream world. I'm humming pharmacy songs. I mean, please. And I get it. They're streaming 24/7. They're in our face on every channel. They have billions of dollars to invest to get us singing those songs. I'm not afraid of that. But awareness changes it. Being aware. And that's the message here today and every week. Having some awareness, some observer, some part of you that can look down and just notice what you're doing. I talked to a friend the other day in deep grief, very embarrassed, something terrible that he had done. And he literally said, and it's somebody I talk to maybe once every 4 months. So it's not like, it's not like I have a lot of time to evolve the concept, but he was like, I wanted to commit suicide. And it occurred to me, the first thing I thought of was, there's no parent here. There's no adult in the room in your brain. And he's in his 60s. There's nobody there to say what. First of all, here's what we do. And that's why self-help books were so big in the 70s, like the 80s. I think it was the 90s, actually. They were so big in the 80s and 90s. Because people, and when I think about it, like, not bad stuff. It's just that they get so trite and they get so silly and they have these little affirmations, which there's nothing wrong with an affirmation. It's just that sometimes it's like a compliment. You feel like you're being lied to. So my first thing to my troubled friend was, where is any part of you finding the so what in this? Did you murder somebody? Did you rape somebody? Did you do something so awful we have to call the police? No. And it was just being caught, being personal with himself. But the question was, where's the so what? Where's the mechanism inside of us that sort of brings it all down an octave? Where's the adult in your brain? And that is what we fight for. That to me is what Saturn's gift in Pisces is. And I'll explain that. Because Pisces merges us with the world around us. We become one. Have you ever noticed a Pisces? Hi, Pisces, everybody. Mary Jean, if you're listening, happy birthday, belated. And Carol, tomorrow, happy birthday, predated. Is that the opposite of belated? Happy birthday, Carol. And I'm going to see you soon. The Pisces thing, if you've ever seen a Pisces or know a Pisces or been with a Pisces or had a good friend that's a Pisces, one thing you can tell is who they've been with. It's just a thing. I have a lot of water. I sense it. I know. But it's like I had a friend years and years and years ago. We were roommates and I knew exactly who he hung out with. I've told this story a million times. I knew when he came home who he was with. Because his Pisces entered the container of their energy. That's what water does. That's what mutable or flexible water does. And that's Pisces. It's the only mutable water sign. It flows right into her container or his container. Whoever he was with, he came home and it took him about an hour to sort of decompress and undo that person from them. So when we're talking now, you're wounded and you're hurt and you're grieving and you're scared and you're in your room and you're like, oh, what do I do? You have a responsibility to have available to you a place you go to talk you down. It's your job to do that. You have to think about what happens if I'm this? And that goes for everything that could happen to you. A bill that comes. I saw, you know, they tell you informed delivery on USPS. It says something coming from the IRS. I go, oh, God. And then I'm like, chill out. Stop it. You get it. You deal with it. We have mechanisms to deal with it. And I have a mind that will do that. I can watch my mind go out of control. I attribute it to my Sun Uranus sort of Jupiter and Virgo-y thing. Sorry for the foreign language speak, but it can tilt off. And it can like, okay, you got to reel this in. But I have a mechanism. I've been building it for a while. And that's what I think Saturn and Pisces, because what is Saturn? If Pisces is mutable water and it's all over the place and it's going to absorb whatever, it's going to take the shape of whatever container that it's in. What is Saturn? The boundary. The part of us that says, no, no thanks. I am going to go take a shower and rinse all of that off of me. Which is a brilliant thing to do when you're starting to feel inundated, a way to rinse it off and come back to yourself. And for years, I've always talked about the inner child. It's a powerful mechanism, but I've gotten feedback from some of you that it just doesn't work for some of you. So if you go into a situation and you can't picture that you are with a part of you that's a young, innocent being that you need to protect, then you need to come up with a way of something that you can protect. Whether it's your reeling mind that gets out of control or a stomach ache. You have an obligation to find the so what, and coining Werner Erhard, finding the so what in what's so. It's our job. And why is it our job? Because we have one thing we're trying to accomplish here. I was going to do the initials. IMHO, right? In my humble opinion, one goal. To find some peace, to live a life of peace or happiness, whatever we define that as. Because guess what? We're all getting out of here. Hate to break it to you, for as immortal as you feel, this body's going to hang it up. Everyone listening is going to have a body that's going to hang it up. And what you can do between now and hang up day is fight for your right to be happy. Fight for your right to feel okay about life. To know that when you're confronted with something, you have a boundary built in to take care of it. And the boundary you get to make up. The boundary can be, here's what I do when I'm not feeling good, or here's a thought I have. And that's what we work for. That's the thing that we, that's the gift we give ourselves. And Saturn in Pisces with Mercury in Pisces right now and the Sun in Pisces right now, this week alone, is giving us some tools to practice. So maybe think about it. Think about something you can do for yourself that sort of works for you. Now, so there's so much more to this. As Pluto is moving into Aquarius, remember, it's at one Aquarius. Mars already hit it. Venus already hit it. We talked about the week looking for news. I'm not going to go over any. I don't like to bring news here too much, right? But Mars and Venus are sort of leaving each other. But that implant of Mars and Venus on Pluto was sort of like an excavation attempt. It was like the opportunity we had to look at our lives a little differently. And it's still there. It's still in there. Every time the moon goes into Aquarius, we're going to feel a little piece of it. But it's in Libra today. So it's in air, like Pluto's in Aquarius, in air. And they're both at like 1 degree. So they're getting along. Good opportunity to sort of just peek in and see how you're doing. Because that's what it's about, right? I know this show can sound a little heavy, but really the goal of it is that you get some peace of mind, because we're getting confronted with a lot of changes and a lot of things. Now, April, I got to bring this news flash in. We've talked about this before. We're going to talk about it again and again and again until it happens. But April 20th of this year, Jupiter and Uranus are coming together. And that happens every 14 years. So the last time it happened was 2010. Can you go back in time to 2010 in your life and see what was going on, how you were doing, what you were feeling? Was it a big event? I had a big event. That was when we finally got to walk away from the store. It was huge. It was huge. So think about 2010 for yourselves, because that's when that happened, it was in Pisces. Speaking of all this Pisces, right? When it happens in April coming up, it's in Taurus. So one was a sort of emotional time period, right? You had the opportunity to feel good emotionally or bad emotionally, or deal with things from your past. I mean, depending on how it came up for you, 2010 was a big year for it. This year, it's in Taurus. Jupiter and Uranus are connecting for the first time. And for those guys in particular, it's like a few hundred years. But Jupiter meets Uranus every 14 years. You've just pictured that. Jupiter moves really fast, and so Uranus moves really slow. And at some point, Jupiter's going to go all around the chart 12 years later, then add a couple to it, and it's going to catch up with Uranus. And Uranus will typically be in a different sign. So, oh, it will be, there's no question. So, this one's in Taurus. So to me, we look for social change in a big way. And that's April. So we're going to have a couple shows about it. I just wanted to bring it to your attention because that date is coming up, right? Because guess what? This is the last Monday of February. And happy leap day for those of you that have birthdays on the March 1st. How do y'all do that? That's right. I guess you still get a March 1st. Those of you with February 29th, I guess you celebrate March 1st too, right? When it's not here. Very interesting concept, this leap year thing. I'm going to hit refresh, come back down to earth and see you guys, see how you're doing, how you're, if, Peggy Reeser's in the house. Peggy just moved her show to Thursday mornings. She's going to be part of the big Thursday lineup. Like, I think it's 11 a.m. Check it out. Her and Kay. Strands of Wisdom. I'm excited she's agreed to go weekly. It's really nice to have her on a regular basis. So I really am. Okay, let me get all comments here. Okay, scrolling down real quick, you guys. Linus, happy Monday. Inga, thank you for being here. Maya, good to see you. Alisha, entering our space late, but with a happy heart. Oh, you always have a happy heart, Alisha, and you always give us one. K Dragons in the house. That's the counterpart to Strands of Wisdom with Peggy. Thursdays, thanks for being here, Kay. Audra, oh, wow, Mark, Capricorn men have been born with Pluto in Virgo in the sixth. I've been sick for almost 7 years after professional life in holistic health. Bless your heart, Audra. Pluto, see, and it's sort of like a thing you carry. Pluto's there, and it's and I bet you it's kept your focus around healing and health, and that there's some fearlessness and empowerment you have there. But mostly, stay away from any blame. You're carrying the mantle for everyone that's ever lived before you in your lineage, kind of thing, right? Like, see, I was thinking, like, I was reading a part of Liz Green saying it's silly to be mad at our families because they're carrying it too. It's okay not to have anything to do with them, but to be angry about it is what we want to heal and work on. Audra, wishing you the best. I know you'll come through. I do. Pluto there is relentlessly willing to bring answers. Melissa, good morning. Mark Husson and the gang. Oh, my Saturn in Cancer in the 8th house, Pluto in Libra in the 10th. It all makes sense. Oh, my gosh, I love that it does. That's so good. And that is Pluto in Libra in the 10th. And I have Pluto in the 10th as well. And it's such a fettered connection to mom, for better or for worse. And, it's really, and grandmother, too, maybe. I know my grandmother, I realized my grandmother, I didn't know this until my 60s, how deeply, profoundly in love and in the classical sense of a son to mother, that I loved my grandmother. And when I went to that funeral, I cried for hours. I was pissing everybody off. They were like, you know, because they're hateful shits, right? But I loved her so much. And I realized that was my mom. I mean, that was really my mom. Because when my mom died, I was like, okay. But when she died, it was like everything shattered. And it was very painful. But I didn't get the connection to that till much later in life. So Pluto in the 10th. All right. Gwen, Mars just opposed my Pluto in Leo in the 12th. Thank you for your guidance through the full moon in Virgo. My ascendant is Virgo. My son, Cancer Sun. My son, Cancer Sun, is ascendant Pisces. Okay, so you're saying, I think you spelled sun, S-O-N, meaning your sun sign, I think, is Cancer in your Pisces rising. So Mars opposing Pluto in Leo. Many of us born in the Pluto in Leo generation, I'm at the very tail end of it, will get to experience that. And it's very intense. And again, Mars was once the ruler that Pluto now rules of Scorpio. So the opposition energy is amazing. It's compatible elements, but it can also mean that whichever one gets projected out, we have to deal with. So I hope that went well for you, Gwen. Mars just opposed my, okay, got that one. Love being a staple and lurking around here. Jackie, you are a staple. Jackie. Good to see you. Cap rising, Capricorn rising, Neptune and Saturn in Libra in the 9th. That's such a powerful one, Jackie. I'm going to get into that. Tired of worrying. Thanks for your lucid comment. Wait a minute. Yeah. I've learned to blame, my glasses are being so foggy. I've learned to blame the planets and just wait for them to move. Pluto in Leo in the 7th house. Can't wait for momentum in Aquarius. Yes, Pluto really transformed me in Cap. Thank you, Mark, and all the 1-2 family for making me anew. You know, Jackie, you're amazing, and you have such, you know, I know how you navigate. You have a brilliant mind, and that Neptune Saturn is one of the hardest things to carry in a chart, in my personal opinion. And look, they're together now, Neptune and Saturn. People born with that feel an enormous amount of duty and responsibility. Think about it, you guys. Saturn's duty and responsibility, right? Neptune is kind of guilt. It's kind of the opening you feel everybody. So you feel like you got to be the one, or it's your fault to take care of business. That's a tough one. And then to have a Capricorn rising on top of it, which sort of says, I have to do this because I see it. Tough stuff and amazing stuff, Jackie. Great for the soul, great for the healing. Alisea, hooray, Capricorn sun in Pisces. Cap sun in Pisces. Lynn, I love when you talk, teach astrology, Mark. Do you sparkle with it? Guidance. Appreciate all the modalities you weave together. Psychology, AC, I am. Mark feeds my Scorpio sun, Saturn in Capricorn, Pluto in Virgo. Well, you know, the the fact that you can track all those is just a testament to you, Lynn. That's great. You see where the wells I'm pulling from. You do. And it's so reassuring and lovely. Thank you. Humongous changes in 2010 for Alisea, emotional, mental, and financial. So Alisea, that was Pisces. Find out where they are in your chart. You said, what'd you say, Pisces, sun in Pisces? Yeah, okay, that's why. If you're a Pisces, then that was profound changes. Now it's in Taurus, so find that Taurus house and see how they go, what changes then. Pretty amazing stuff. And you guys are amazing to stick with it, because I know this can get a little heavy, but it can also get supportive. Okay. I just hit refresh again. So sorry for the stuttering moment. View more comments. Hold on. And then I got to do this thing where you say all comments so I can at least not ignore you guys if somebody's saying anything. So I do that pretty quick. Audra says her Saturn in Pisces is helping. You are, Audra. She said, nailed it, Mark. On top of all of it, I have a Pisces sun in the 12th with a stellium and two grand trines in water. Wow, girl, that is amazing. Yeah, you're fine. I love that. You are so grand trine in water. I know what you're talking about. And then Saturn in Pisces is helping. It is. It's bringing boundaries. See, you guys, the reason this map is so important is because you get to use it. You get to think in terms of not being done to, but you get to think in terms of seeing the x-ray, seeing the picture that you're creating in symbol form. And there's a lot of ways to manifest some of these planetary energies. It's just that some of us got hooked with carrying things that other people will never have to carry and feeling guilty about it. Do you get that? And so these things, these new age tropes that we always hear, like God never gives you anything you can't handle, all those, that's great and everything. But it's your will to survive. It's your willingness and to see that you can give this part of you. And I do, and I believe in God. I believe in this, in a spiritual connection. But it's that part that is connected to the source in us that we want to drive to connect to. We think it's another person. We think it's an ideal. We think it's God. If we could connect to the voice that connects us to that is, you know how I've always said the subconscious mind doesn't stop knocking at your door to help you ever? Like one of the sweetest, kindest, loveliest friends that you could ever have, gently is knocking, gently bringing you omens, gently bringing you things all the time, nonstop. And I don't know how many of us, including myself, meaning this, stop to think, to be thankful. Stop to just feel how insane. Like, we're looking for love out here. We're looking for the hero out here. We're looking for the thing to save us out here. And this thing has never stopped being there for us. And this thing, and call it the subconscious mind, call it the voice of God, call it whatever you want. You can find it. It's there. It doesn't sink. It doesn't go away. It doesn't leave you. You leave it. That's common. But there's a lot here to be grateful for. And a lot here inside of you that you are carrying, that you think everyone else is carrying it and you're keeping it quiet. You know how many of you are keeping your pain in secret? And it's okay. You get to keep it a secret. How many of you keep your shame in secret? How many of you keep your pain in secret? How many of you keep this, like, you know, I don't ever want anyone to ever know this part of me, that kind of thing. And which is fine. It's fine. But when it's just you and that voice, you could just give it a wink and a nod. You could sort of like lighten up a little bit. And you also could recognize that it's been a journey. And not everybody's carrying this stuff. And you might be carrying something that's very different than somebody else. They would never understand. You don't need them to. You don't need the world to know. I mean, my mom, God bless her, the constant thing, y'all remember have y'all ever seen Imitation of Life? Have I ever talked about this? It's like one of the sappiest but most amazing movies. In the one with Lana Turner and John Gavin, Mahalia Jackson sings on it. But there is a black woman who was what I think of my grandmother. One of the most lovely people in the world. And she had a very light-skinned daughter. This movie was very profound. It's been remade several times, right? But this particular one, the daughter just hates her mom because the mom would go to class and say, I'm just bringing these boots for my daughter. And the daughter would sink and hide because her mother was black and she looked white. Nobody knew that she was a black, you know, had black blood in her, let's say. So she hated her mom her whole life and ran from her. And her mother never hated her. One of the most lovely people. I should have her name, the woman who portrayed her. But she should have gotten the award because she made the movie. But spoiler alert, so turn me off if you don't want to hear what happens in the end. But the mom is very ill, is gonna die, and Mahalia Jackson, the funeral happens. And the daughter was nowhere to be found. And Mahalia Jackson is singing one of the most beautiful songs. I just saw a documentary on Martin Luther King and Mahalia Jackson and how important she was to this whole movement. And I didn't know any of that. Like, it was pretty amazing. I think it was the history. Gosh, I feel terrible, but it wasn't the Martin Luther King documentary. I think it was maybe History of Jazz, maybe. But anyway, Mahalia Jackson was a big voice, like an amazing voice. And she stood by Martin Luther King and he leaned into her. Like when he was giving right before he had his I Have a Dream speech, he's getting all nervous and people are leaving and the audience, you know, the crowds are getting anxious and he's sort of mumbling. And you hear Mahalia Jackson say to him, Martin, tell them about the dream. And that moment happened, right? Well, in the movie, the mom dies and there's not a dry eye. You have to cry. You watch it a million times. You're going to cry. It doesn't matter if you know the ending or not, you know, she's going to die. And you hear the daughter rustling through, where's my mom? Get out. And, you know, it's like now she's proud to call her my mom. Right. And it's I'm pushing back tears, talk about it. And so, my mom used to walk around going, you're going to run after me like that girl in Imitation of Life. You are going to run after me at my funeral. Because what my point of that was is she wanted some credit. You know, she wanted some credit because I was pretty ungrateful, I'm sure, in her eyes. And she just was like, you're going to miss me when I'm gone kind of thing. So we're getting ready we got to wrap it up a little bit here, but a couple things I want to say. I love talking to you. It's such a joy for my week. It really is. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. We had that full moon Saturday. It was in Virgo. It activated your chart where Virgo is. And I want you to pay attention to that area of your life. Like Virgo got activated. So I don't know about you all. My plans for cleaning changed because I got obsessed about my Oracle cards that I and so OCD kicked in, I guess, a little bit. It's more ADD. And I wanted to focus on that. So I got the iRobot to my robot to clean. Silly gadget for sure. I mean, silly gadget for sure, but it does a pretty darn good job. So I'm like, whatever. Anyway, I digress. Virgo. And the reason I brought up the robot is I had to call tech support to get it fixed, which is part of the Virgo moon thing. Things break down. When you're a lot of Virgo, you attract the things to break so you can fix them and to fix them from the rest of the world having to deal with it. So you're the people that get the fly in your soup. Okay, you're the people that... You're the people that like, okay, there's a problem here and I'm calling it out. So thank you, Virgos. And thank you for the part of you, all Virgos, that all, you know, anywhere in your chart that's Virgo, where you stood up to show the mistake and the error. So that Virgo moon's in for a week. This week is kind of benign. We're in the winter part of the season, even though we're having a heat wave. It's going to be 67 today in Denver, Colorado. I'm actually Larkspur, Colorado, but Denver, Colorado. It's almost 70, and we're what, in February? So it's great. No climate change, right? See, I have to slip something in because I'm a brat. Let's see. Okay, so the week ahead, and that this is the big thing. We're going to start paying attention to Jupiter and Uranus because they're less than 10 degrees apart and Jupiter's moving, and that's in Taurus. And then we have, in a couple of days, we're going to have that Sun-Saturn conjunction. I just want you to pay attention and use it. I want you to use it to bring a boundary where you need a boundary. And so the moon's going to be like going through the winter signs. It's going to go, it's in autumn right now. It'll be Libra. It goes into Scorpio. Scorpio will take us into Sag weekend. And I guess next week will be winter. This is autumn then. So we're kind of in an autumn energy. Please support 1-2-listen.com. Get some advice if you need it. Get some help if you need it. Get someone friendly, loving to talk to. It is really safe. We have put our blood, sweat, and tears into it. Tell a friend about 1-2 Radio. Tell a friend about the Power Peak. Please get on the mailing list at 12house.com. Just click the join the Power Peak mailing list. No one's going to die over two postcards a week or three. Okay, maybe four, but they're not awful. And lastly, see if maybe this week you can recognize something that shames you, right? And then see if there's a way for you to see it and not react, not go, ooh, or just know that you have it and you've been carrying it. Because I want you guys to start giving yourself some credit for the individuality and the things that you carry inside of you that you won't share with the world because no one, it's too painful to know. And you shouldn't have to. You never have to. You just have to know that you're doing that. Like sometimes we shut the door on our most embarrassing moments, and I have a few. You shut the door on those embarrassing moments because you don't want to feel it again. But you can open it in a loving way. No one's looking. You don't have to tell anybody. You don't have to confess. You don't have to say anything. Just do it for yourself and put a little love in there this week. Okay? It's Pisces. We get to be mushy. And people from your past get to show up, and they probably will. So be ready for that one too. Okay, if you have any doubt how I feel about you, erase it. I'm grateful to hell and back. This is Mark Husson. This is the Mark Husson Astrology Hour. I'm going to be here same time next week. Stay tuned for the amazing Christina LaFrance. And then we have Lori Love. And right after her, we have Jamie Dawn. Big hugs to you guys.